knowledge we tend to think that we acquire, but there's a greater form of knowledge which we discuss, that is, you know, knowledge by presence that is placed in the heart. As the Imam says, al-ilm, knowledge is like nur, yaghzihu fi qalbi man yasha, and that knowledge is placed in the heart of whosoever Allah wishes. Obviously, Allah will not wish that He will place this knowledge in the heart of Fir'aun or in the heart of, you know, Qaddafi or, you know, these people who are zalim, doing zulm. Allah will place the yaqeen and knowledge in the heart of those who eat less and speak less, for those who are fasting, for those who are struggling and striving. Because the acts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not without wisdom. It is with wisdom, with hikmat. Every little thing that Allah does is with wisdom and hikmat and for a reason. We think that there's a such thing called chance. There's no such thing as chance. There's no such thing as chance. It just cannot be. Oh, I got lucky. There's no such thing as luck. Everything happens for a reason. Every line in our hand have a meaning. And Allah knows what's the meaning behind it. And people of knowledge who have studied, who tried, and those who have been given hikmat, they are aware of that, right? It's very easy for them to really deter and find out, as we were just discussing in tafsir class. I think there's a hadith which says, from Yemen, they chose 100 people. The best, sincere Muslims, dedicated, strong in Iman, to send it to Amirul Mu'minin Kufa. From this 100, they say, oh, there's too much, let's take 10 of them. They refined it more. They chose 10 of them, the best, the top notch. Out of 100 to 10. From this 10, they all went to Kufa and they met Amirul Mu'minin. And from this 10, they all 10 decided, say, we have to need a representative. So from this 10, the best we have to select. They selected Ibn Muljim. And Ibn Muljim went and met Amirul Mu'minin. And Amirul Mu'minin asked him, what's your name? He said, Ibn Muljim. He says, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. It's not by knowledge. It's not by just simple practicing and having a mark of prostration on the forehead or having 3-inch or 5-inch or 6-inch beard. It's not by that. It is that wisdom, it is that marifat, it is that understanding. And Allah places that. Illa ma rahima rabbi. It is the Lord. So as we know the facts and details, we have to keep our heart open. We have to keep that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that this is the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. We believe in it, we have iman, we trust, and we are practicing it. And as we are practicing that sincerely and at the same time having that connection with God, Allah opens up, Allah shows. Many people who were, they were not Muslims, but they were sincere, they were truthful towards humanity, towards Christianity, or whatever deen they are following, or whatever principles of humanity that they have within themselves, they were truthful to that. Then Allah introduced them to Islam. Maybe as they are majority of Sunni brothers, maybe they are introduced to the Sunni Islam first. When they are introduced to that, still they remain steadfast to that belief. And they are sincere to that. Because that sincerity, that truthfulness, that existed within themselves, because of which they have come to this haq, to truth. After accepting that, then the school of Ahlul Bayt is introduced to them. It doesn't take much for them to really say that, yes, this is what I was really looking for. Even after that, even when we are on the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, still we have to keep that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open and ask. Because even on that there are darajat and levels. Whether that be among the lay people like us or among the ashab. If Salman knows, if Abu Zar knows what is in the heart of Salman, Salman will call him kafir. You know, Abu Zar will call him kafir. Abu Zar will kill him. So kill Salman. Because they have darajat there as well. Right? So therefore, always keeping that connection with Allah. That special sort of speaking to Allah in whatever language, Doesn't matter. Yes, Salat is on its place in its time, not a problem. We do, we recite in Arabic and we have to do that. There's a particular reason for that. We'll talk about that today a little bit in that Hadith Miraj. It comes about. But we have to speak in our, we have to connect in our own will, in our own language as well. You know, when we are in Sajda, when we are in Qunut, you know, early hours, just speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this, I'm not saying that this is enough. So forget your salat or forget your som. No, no. That's wajibat, which we have to do. But there has to be that sort of inner connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through prayers, what happens, I'm telling you, is that as it is wajib and we have to do, because we have to do. And once we do it, I'm done. Right? So it becomes a bit difficult to have that spirit in it, which is because of us, unfortunately. It looks like a duty and responsibility that we have to do it and, you know, we are free with it, right? But that speech and connecting and speaking, which is in more looked as najwa, this is what the Hadith of Miraj is saying. You know, the abd and I will do najwa with them. Whispered prayers. They will whisper with each other. You know, in their own language. Right? And that is very important. Musa was going on the mountain of Tur and he saw a shepherd and he says, "Oh Allah, when you come down here, I'm going to comb your hair, I'm going to sit with you, I'm going to speak." Musa said, "What do you mean? Allah doesn't have any hair, Allah doesn't have any form. Allah is immaterial. You know, he doesn't have no forms or shape or anything like that. He's being, his existence." Then finally advised him and Musa went to the mountain of Tur. Then what did Allah said? "Oh Musa, you know, what did you do? You an abd, a person who was connecting to me, you stopped that by telling him that, oh, he's not like that or he's not like this. No. We have sent you barai wasl kardan, na barai qat kardan. The prophets are there to connect people to God. Not that they disconnect them. Well, he was connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that fashion. Fabeha, good, to begin with. Not that very harsh. But those who have the light of wilayat, they are able to understand this on a deeper level. That is why Musa couldn't become the student of Khizr. Because Khizr was on the maqam of wilayat and Musa was on the maqam of nabuwat. So that inner understanding, that inner sciences, that is the path of spiritual wavering for those who are on the path of wilayat. Right? So, najwa, that speaking, that connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very important, that we need to maintain that with our wajibat, with our fulfillment of wajibat and everything. So the Prophet says that, you know, we were saying about that knowledge. This is where we stop and we'll get there. That this knowledge, wisdom, marifat, yaqeen, which is the fruit of hikmat is yaqeen and knowledge and certainty, understanding. You know, Allah places that in whosoever Allah decides and wishes and desires to put in that heart. And Allah looks for that makan, for that special heart in which He places. It's not for everybody. Right? It's not for everybody. They might acquire it. They might be known as the top-notch spiritual person to really represent and refine, like Ibn Muljim, on the basis of their ibadat, on the basis of how many prostrations they do. But that marifat is a special thing. And then that marifat will bring about yaqeen. As we were just speaking today in tafsir of Al-Hakim al-Takasur, Salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. That marifat will bring about yaqeen. After, so it's beginning with fast, eating less, speaking less. Hikmat will bring marifat will bring yaqeen. And yaqeen is a manzil which the hadith says that the least distributed among people is yaqeen. the least distributed. Yaqeen, as the hadith says, that the maqam of iman is higher than Islam. The maqam of taqwa is higher than iman. The maqam of yaqeen is higher than taqwa. So a person could have Islam, he might not be mu'min, believer. A person might be a Muslim, he might not be a believer, true believer, iman. A person might have belief, he might believe, he might be a mu'min, you know, a believer, but he might not have yaqeen. He might not have taqwa, God consciousness, you know, God wariness. No, I have iman. I believe that backbiting is haram, but I backbite. I believe that lying is cheating is wrong. I believe, Quran says, I really believe as a Muslim, I'm a mu'min, I believe in it. But do I practice it? But am I God wary? Am I God conscious? So the level of God consciousness, taqwa, is higher than belief. And higher than God consciousness is the maqam or the station of yaqeen. Yaqeen means certainty, that you are certain. So when a person has certainty, when he has yaqeen, that is the maqam of radi'een. Because they are the one who doesn't really care whether how they make it the morning, what happens to them. It's Allah, it's everything is in Allah's hand. Because yaqeen is a station, is a maqam, where a person not just believes, but he surrenders. Salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The first maqam of yaqeen is where, there are three types of yaqeen. The first is where he does tawakkul. The haqiqah, the yaqeen, is where he does tawakkul. That's the first thing. After tawakkul, you know, he does taslim. He surrenders. After surrendering, he is radi. He is pleased. After being pleased, he leaves it in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ufawwidu amri ila Allah. So this is the haqiqat of yaqeen. You know, this is the reality of yaqeen. So when he has that, obviously, in the morning he has given ufawwizu amri. He has done the tawakkul. He has surrendered to it whatsoever happened. Now when this person reaches that maqam of radi'een, three qualities he will have. Zikr without, you know, shukr without jahl. Thanksgiving without ignorance. Dhikr, remembrance of God without forgetfulness, will be given to him. And number three, love. A type of love that no love will overpower that love. No love of any creature or any creation will overpower that love of God. And when the love of God is given to him, his heart will open to the knowledge nothing is hidden from him. And this is where we stopped. He will be given the opportunity to do najwa with me, and I will do najwa with me, and I will sit with him. Iqbal will take place. They will be in one majlis. What a beautiful session that would be. There's me and my God. No, me and my beloved. What a beautiful meeting is that, right? That opportunity will be provided to him, beginning with fast, ending it here. Now these najwaha, let's examine a bit more about what is this najwa, what is this dua, what is this nida. Dua, which means call, and which means supplication. You know, dua in Arabic is a supplication, what we recite, you know, in the night, after, and in our prayers and all that. Supplication is actually, which is dua. What is the reality of dua? The reality of dua, the reality of najwa. Dua, the highest form of dua is najwa. That is the utmost. The reality of dua is portraying or showing our truth and our reality, who we really are. And recognizing the reality of God. That's what dua is. It's nothing but that. That's what it's taking place. When I'm calling my Lord, I'm showing and I'm saying that I am faqir. I'm in need. I'm nothing. I have no power. All power belongs to God. That's what I'm doing there. That's what is taking place. On another level, when I'm calling God, I'm trying to manifest, or I'm trying to bring that quality of Sami. Sami is one of the names of God, the listener. God is the listener. So when I'm calling, what's happening? When I'm calling, he is listening to me. Adu'uni, he's accepting. Astajib lakum. Or wasma du'ai idha da'utuk. Or listen to my call when I call you. So from this side a call, from that side is sama'at. He is listening. Sami is a quality based on the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is a listener with knowledge. He's not just a listener. We all could listen. We all have that quality. But what about the knowledge? Right? What about istijab, with our acceptance? What about focusing, tawajjuh? You know, things could fall on our deaf ears, right? We might be in a lesson, in a class, in a majlis. You know, the Mawlana is speaking and speaking. If there is no action, if I'm not implementing what my teacher is saying, it's falling on my deaf ears. Right? It's no use. I'm listening. But the samat, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a listener, is a very different. You know, we think Allah, because that's how we tend to comprehend God, understand God. And as I mentioned earlier, our understanding of God is like a blind person. To a blind person, you tell him red color, yellow color, green color, white color. He doesn't know what color means. We are trying to understand God in this fashion. Unless or until we reach to that maqam of najwa, to that maqam of certainty, yaqeen. Unless until we reach to the maqam where we say, I see God. Do I worship a God that I don't see? Right? That yaqeen. Haqqul yaqeen. Ilmul yaqeen, aynul yaqeen, and then haqqul yaqeen, right? That there are levels of yaqeen, right? You have that knowledge where you understand, you speak. That's what we try to do here. We try to believe in God through the knowledge, through some certain amount of certainty that we gain. Yes, there has to be God. You know, there is God, right? That's the knowledge. Then we could see when we believe in that and we practice it. You know, I was walking once with Agha Bahjat. I told him, you know, Allah, you know, we come from America and we study here for a few years and we go back. It's not like how Iranian students, they study here for years, years and years. You know, they could do Irfan, Falsafa, you know, and they could be in your company. You know, we are here for a very limited period of time. What are we supposed to do so that we become spiritual? So that, he says, you know, amala bihi ma la ta'lamun. Act upon what you have learned. That will open the door. So if we act on what we learn, then automatically Allah will teach us. Al-ilmu nurun yaghzifu fi qalbi man yasha, right? So the point is acting on what we have learned. Then Allah will provide that knowledge or that goal, whatever we have. Allah will make it easy for us, right? So ilmul yaqeen, right? And then you have the ayn, you see that reality will be shown to you. And many a times you would feel, when you have that spiritual high, that you could feel the presence of God everywhere, within yourself and outside, and in each and every created thing, being that is around you. It is reflecting nothing but the divine. You could see that divine light. You could feel that presence in your breath, the taste that you have, the sound that you are hearing, the wind that is blowing, the sound of those waves or the water that you are hearing, if you are in a garden or a park or somewhere, for that second, that yes, this is Haqq, that he is the truth. As the Quran says, وَنُورِهُ مِنْ آيَاتِ فِي آفَاقِ فِي أَنفُسْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ أَلَهُمْ حَقِّ. We shall show them our signs upon the horizon within themselves, that he is the truth. The haqq will be explained. Hatta yatabayyan lahum. For them, it will be very apparent. You might be working as a surgeon on a patient. At that instant, you would say, Subhanallah. Right? That's this. That where you see. You know, that's by seeing. Yaq by haqi yaqeen by that. Then you have that haqq and haqqul yaqeen. That is by certainty. That everything of yours is annihilated in the wujud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where you become one with God. Nothing exists but the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ
وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ
Yeah. His, or when you give bayah on his hand, you're not giving bayah on his hand, but you're giving bayah on the hand of God, which is the hand of the Prophet. Because Prophet have become one with God. You know, the dhakir and the dhikr and madhkur have become one. How can there be duality? How can there be? It is not possible. There's only one wujud. But it is understanding of that wujud. The zikr that you're doing is that very madhkur. And the dhakir who is doing that zikr is that madhkur itself. So the dua that we recite is nothing but bringing out that kamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that manifestation of that name of Sami. So far, when I call, Allah is Sami, no doubt. But what I'm doing is I'm attracting this name of God towards me. I'm becoming that vehicle, that medium through which God is manifestating His name. This is sufficient enough for me. This is astajib lakum itself. So it is. So in a way, in other words, it is through me God is manifestating Himself. What an honor for me. Because He's becoming Sami because I am calling Him and He's becoming Sami. And it is that is what the hadith says, Kunta kanzan makhfiya. God was a hidden treasure and He wanted to be known. That's why He created. So through the creation, He's being known. So I'm nothing. I'm faqr wujud. I'm like that oddness to that number three itself in my essential reality. Whatsoever it is nothing but manifestation of God. So my dua is that. That is the reality of dua, that I show myself as nothing. And Allah is the one who is Sami. Now, this goes on a deeper level. You know, as a person when he supplicates, when he calls, when he's doing that dua, it goes to that level of najwa, where he whispers, where he speaks, you know, in his own sort of format, in his own sort of connection he does with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where that closeness have taken place, where his heart have already melted, his tears start to flow in his eyes. Because dua, to begin with, is a bit of, you know, distance. But in najwa, that doesn't remain anymore. A dua could change its form. It begins with a dua, but it could end up being a najwa. And it usually does. When a person begins with a dua and eventually starts to speak in his own language, he leaves everything. There's no hijab or anything between him and Allah. Everything. He just speaks in whatever language he's speaking. Right? He reaches there. The dua will take him there. So the Hadith Miraj says that he will do najwa with me. And when he will do najwa, then I will make him hear me. He will start to hear me, what I have to say. And I will make him hear, and I will make him hear the angels as well. He will start listening to them. He could hear them, what the malaika are saying. What was wahi? And what are they saying? يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ Whatsoever is in the heaven and earth, they are doing tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He could hear that. When in a presence of zikr, when in the presence of tasbih, how can a person commit a sin? When he is in that presence. When he is listening, nothing but the zikr, but the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He could hear that. And when I become his companion, you know, he will abhor or he would not like any other company but the company with me. He would yearn to be in my company. All other company will be useless for him. He would like to be with me all the time. How can he not? Right? He would like to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. He would yearn for that. That is why, now, having said that, this doesn't mean that we have to avoid people. Prophet never did that. Masumeen, they never did that. No. No, I want to be in the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. Hell with the dunya or hell with the people. I want to just be with Allah. I'm doing najwa, masala. these halat have to come automatically. Especially the halat of Najwa, especially the halat of that company, becoming a companion of God. And right, that halat have to automatically happen. You know, Allah is the one who takes us to that level. Yes, dua, saum, fasting, you know, miras was fast. We have to fast. You know, it comes with that wajibat. That's the beauty. You know, all of these wajibat is for that purpose, is for that goal, right? So this act here, which is wajib for us to do, you know, miratul som is eating less, speaking less, to that najwa, right? And it will happen automatically. If I implement these obligations that are upon me, these wajibat that are upon me, in the best way possible, with sincerity, with khulus, right? With sincerity, then automatically I'll be taken towards that. I'll be attracted towards it. Gradually and gradually, Allah will grab me. Allah will take me. You know, like we said, you know, the mukhlasin and the mukhlasin aspect. You know, I have to be mukhlas in order that I be granted the status or the station of mukhlas. First, I have to be mukhlas. Then Allah is the one who will make me mukhlas. And He will avoid. Now, even that company that he is in, as we said earlier in this very hadith, he will be witnessing the azamat and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala everywhere. Everything will become for him the reflection of the divine, and he will try his level best to really come to terms with and try to take that towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The example that we were giving earlier, Hazrat Lut alayhi salam, in that environment, one would detest, abhor, will be annoyed. But at the same time, how humble he was. He said, I will give you my daughters. Whether that be daughters in the sense where my ummah or her own, his own, right? Regardless. Right? That is humility. That is humbleness. Trying to once again take that, whatever that is, towards the kamal, towards the perfection. So the hadith of Miraj, you know, inshallah we'll finish it tonight, and then we'll try a different topic tomorrow. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. How does it end up, this hadith? It begins with the fast, and then finally Najwa, and then he will hear me. I will make him hear myself, and I will make him hear the malaika and the angels, and I will be his companion, and he will detest the company of others. And then, once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeat, I will provide him with the sirr, alladhi satartahu min khalqi. I will provide him with the secret of myself which has been hidden from the creation. What is that sirr? We don't know. What is that? We are unaware of it. But that is a secret. That is a mystery in itself. And that's what it makes it unique and special. Wujud-e-mubarak Prophet, Akmalul Anbiya, who have reached that maqam of Qanika wa Qawsain, he's asked Allah, oh Allah, increase in my astonishment. Good, because God is astonishing. God is fascinating. God is amazing. If he opens his hijab, you know, as Allah says in one of the, as it is in one of the traditions, when Abd come closer to me, I unveil myself gradually and gradually. As I unveil myself, he's attracted towards me gradually. But even these attraction and these veils are what? Ilahi habli kamal al inqita ilayk. One ir absaru qulubana bidiyai nadariya ilayk. Hatta taghriq absaru qulub hujubannu. Even these hijab that we think, mashallah, fasting, you know, praying, knowledge, all of these are hijab of nur, luminous veils, which is in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah tears them apart slowly and slowly. Then Abd reaches to that limit. If you look at this journey of spiritual wafering in a man's life, if you observe a life of a person when he's about to die, you know, how he lives. When he's about to die, as we said, you know, we will be taken, you know, whether we like it or not. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. It is better to go voluntarily, you know, by choice we have to go towards. But when you look at that abd on that deathbed, he's lying. He cannot open his eyes. He cannot move his hands. But if you observe his face, he's gazing somewhere. People are around him. Things are attached to him. He's feeling nothing. He's gazing somewhere. These are the halat of a person when he's about to die. You're speaking to him, something else, somewhere else. He's not in this dunya. Because Allah have unveiled him already. He has seen that beauty. He doesn't care about who is next around you. Nothing is affecting him. Continuously the muqaddarat, tanazzalul malaikatu warru. Continuously upon his heart, the muqaddarat is unveiling. It's coming upon his heart. That's why you get this sort of seizures. That's like heart attacks, as you call. The heart starts like, because the body doesn't have that capacity to take. Because Allah has started to show himself. And the body, eventually the ruh leaves the body. He has no choice but to leave. He has no choice but to leave. Because that azamat, that wujud of Allah. Now the point is, now those halat of dying could take place while we are still alive. That is why there's unconsciousness. Unconsciousness of a person. Because person goes unconscious. Shaykh Baqir Sadr, they say when he used to pray salat, while he's praying, he would have some sort of like heart attacks. He would go unconscious while praying. Because of those tajalliyat, those manifestations, those kamalat, and those jalal and jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that unveils for him. The body will just go off. It doesn't have that capacity. You know, that azamat, that haybat. He's in hayran. He's astonished by the wujud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person is about to die, that happens, and that is natural. Sometimes it happens while a person is still alive and he still have hayat and he could see. But that very person reaches to that time where he's about to die as well. So now the difference is where this person who have already died and experienced that, where that person who have an experience. That is why Amirul Mumineen says, Ali, get ready for death. Although Ali is not afraid of death. But it is that jalal and jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he would be able to see without a physical medium of this dunya. That barzaki eye, without any limitation. Where the yaqeen have reached to that ultimate level. Because death is the yaqeen. Hatta ya'tika al-yaqeen, right? You know, that's what we recite in Ziyarat of Imam Hussain and other, that's, yeah, one of the other coin or the other name of death is yaqeen. Because when a person is barza, is nothing but pure yaqeen. When in his dunya, there is some sort of kathrat, there is some sort of multiplicity. Even for awliya and anbiya, even for everybody, there is some sort of. Our kathrat is very low level. The kathrat of the anbiya and awliya, yes, it's on a higher level, but it is still kathrat. Right? It's still kathrat. But it's very difficult for them. But still in that kasrat, they say, Maraitu illa jamila. That's wahdat. But even for them, when that hour comes of death, it is very, you know, dreadful in the sense that they are leaving this dunya to a completely new realm altogether, where the azmat and the jalal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something else. So here, God says that I will provide him with that sirr. That secret, وَسِرُّ الْإِتِّسَالِ بِحَذْرَتِكِ is one of the du'as of Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, which we recite every night. You know, Allahumma nawwir dhahiri bita'atik. It begins with ita'at. What is wajib, what is not? The hadith of Miraj is also saying that. Mirathu sawm, fast. What is the miraj of ita'at? وَقَلْبِ بِمَعْرِفَتِكِ It goes to that ma'rifat. وَرُوحِ بِمُشَاهِدَتِكِ That you will see the jalal and the jamal when the love sits in the heart of that abd. I will show him the azamat. I will show him the my jalal and my azamat. Right? He will see. And then after that is what was sirrul ittisal. And I will provide him that sir, that secret of that connection, that ittisal. Bi hadratik. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram wa sallallahu ala sayyidana wa nabiyyana Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin. Rahimallahu man qara al-fatiha. لأرواح المؤمنين أو المؤمنات especially the مرحومين of the brothers and sisters who are present here with the loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And also a Surah Fatiha for Shaheed Baqir Sadr. He came to our aid today, Alhamdulillah, to help us understand things. Bismillah.
I mean, we still have like about 8 minutes before the Azan Maghrib. So please get ready with your wudu. Brother Wajah Siddiq is going to lead the salat on the men's side, and Maulana is going to lead the salat on the women's side. And I will request the sisters to vacate hallway so we can remove the partition.
55 or 56?
5 minutes. It's shorter and shorter.
Maulana is going to lead the Salat on the women's side, so I will request sisters, so please make some room for Maulana and 5 volunteers.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن أمير المؤمنين عليا ولي الله أشهد أن أمير المؤمنين عليا حجة الله حيا على الصلاة حيا على الصلاة حيا على الفلاح حيا على الفلاح حيا على خير العمل